Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another great Trip Report show. Of course, I am currently on the Disney Dream, but we're not going to miss a podcast for you. So stand by for Dave joining us from New Jersey, talking about a great trip with his brother's family, a group of nine, mostly young adult children with their parents down at Walt Disney over the holiday season this past year. Great meals, Ohana, Enzo's Hideaway, Trails End, Whispering Canyon, staying at Riverside, doing all the holiday stuff and more. So we got a great trip report headed your way. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at touringplans.com. During the busy times of year, this is where touringplans.com sings. They're going to give you great touring plans, great strategies, great advice that is tried and true so that you can save up to 4 hours in line each day of your Disney vacation. And for just the cost of a couple of churros down at Walt Disney World, you're getting 365 days of great information. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Also, a big shout out to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link. That's the easiest way to support the show. It really, really does help. So just use brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. When you purchase things on the site, you get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So again, if you don't mind, bookmark it and use it as often as you can. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1,505 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and currently the Disney Dream. That's right, we're out at sea for the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 5.0. But we're starting your week with a great trip report, as we always do. So make sure you're following me on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. I'll be posting pictures from the cruise here as we get back here in a couple days. And of course, we've had the Double Dip 5K, Castaway Key 5Ks going on. If you're doing the virtual, good luck with those runs. We're raising money for Give Kids the World. So thank you so much for doing that. But let's get into today's show. And we're going to get you, I know, it's June, but you know what? Those Christmas trips are going to be here before you know it. David's joining us today. We're going to patch him in here from New Jersey. David, how's it going today?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Doing great. Glad to have you on the show. And how are things in Jersey?
The weather's been beautiful. I'm sitting in my car at a softball game where my daughter's playing, so life is good.
Oh, good luck. What position does she play?
Catcher.
Oh, man, smartest person on the field, right?
We hope so.
Field general. That's it. I was a pitcher, and I always knew that my success was always dependent on who was behind the plate every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's hop into your trip. You guys went down last Christmas down to Walt Disney World with some extended family. So give us some of the details, like where you stayed, who traveled with you, and when you went.
So it was my immediate family and my brother's immediate family. We traveled from New Jersey, although we flew out of Philly, and he lives in North Carolina, so he drove down, and he's had a family of four, and I have a family of five. My family stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, and his family actually stayed off property.
Ooh, good comparisons here, I think we'll have, because I want to hear about that, because I had my first off-property experience back at the beginning of May, so this will be a fun one. Now, let me ask you this before we dive into the details of the trip itself. What's the dynamic as far as being a Disney fan and your family and extended family? I mean, why did you guys end up going to Walt Disney World, not somewhere else?
So we're crazy Disney fans. Having gone with my brother, it's a funny story. We only have so much time, but in 1988, my brother won the Monopoly scratch-off contest at McDonald's, and won for our then family of five an all-expenses-paid trip to Disney at the Contemporary.
No way.
Like two parks at that time.
Are you kidding me? He won it? I was like, nobody wins those things. That's awesome.
He won. It was airfare, three meals a day. It was crazy. So I hadn't been to Disney with him probably since then. And, now I'm 52. I think he's 50. And we wanted to get our families together. Most of our kids are basically young adults. And so we planned it, and it worked out.
So I got to ask you this. Were you with him when he won that prize at McDonald's?
I was not. I was actually away at college, and I got the call, and I thought that they were putting me on. because I don't think he'd mind me saying, out of everyone, I was the biggest Disney nut in the family, and that's carried on to my kids, and I know to his kids. My daughter's actually going to be leaving in August for the college program, so it's in our blood.
Oh, man, love to hear that. Yeah, that kind of reminds me of a quick story with my dad. When Missouri first got a lottery, back when I was probably 8 or 10, you know, I was very young, and he went up and he was at the grocery store and they sold those scratchers tickets. Like, that's, we didn't have like the real lottery. We had like the scratchers tickets lotteries. And it's like when it first came out. And so he comes home and he thinks he won $10,000, you know, on this scratchers ticket, like a couple days after it started. But what happened was we found out, you know, like it was a losing ticket, but you could enter the losing ticket in a drawing for $10,000. Right. Like everybody else was like, yeah. So my dad was pretty excited there for a few minutes and then bubble burst. But yeah, it's kind of funny. But no, so that's awesome that you guys have been lifelong Disney fans, obviously passing it on to your kids and with the college program coming up with your daughter. That's exciting. So talk about the planning. When you have two families, and especially the way it sounds like it went down with, you know, your brother's family staying offsite, you're staying onsite. How did you guys plan? How'd you do that?
Well, it was a little unique because, you know, I'm all over the planning and 60 days out. I grabbed fast passes. My family was a little weird because three of us have annuals and the other two that have moved out and away at college. We bought them tickets a little closer to the time. And my brother didn't get his passes until much later. So when we got there, we had the trick of trying to get everybody's fast passes together. But it really was not too much of a problem. So I did our 60 days out. I pretty much did all the dining. I was kind of like the point guy. And then when it was 30 days out, we tried to finagle the fast passes as best we could. What we couldn't match up, we tried to match up with guest services when we got there, and they were very accommodating, you know, except with like flights of passage. It really worked out pretty well.
Yeah, that's one of those things that it's kind of a new Disney problem, if you could call it that, with, you know, when you travel with friends or family. And, you know, my trips nowadays are always with, you know, either the Foresters or Ricky and Brian or my good friends, the Gardners, or who, you know, Jocelyn's family. There's always so many of us. And obviously you want to hang out together. You want to ride rides together, but it becomes a huge challenge trying to get, you know, fast passes lined up for, like you said, 9 people for you, you know, maybe 12 people for us in a certain day. But, you know, you just kind of make the best of it. And, you know, so you went to guest services, so that worked out well for you. You know, another tip I give folks is that, you know, you might have a fast pass at 9:30 to 10:30, but if you can get somebody else that has a fast pass from 10:15 to 11:15, if you got even just a 10-minute overlap, that works. You know, I've just learned little tricks like that throughout the years.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I always hear you say on the podcast, the important part is just being with people you want to hang out with, not exactly what attraction you get to do at what time. But the way it worked out is the night, our first night there, we met my brother's family at Disney Springs. We went to the big guest services area there. I had to get a Tables in Wonderland card because mine had expired. And he was changing his passes into hoppers. So we spent some time at guest services, and while we were there, we kind of worked out some fast passes, and some of them we actually had to do at the parks, but the place in Disney Springs handled most of what we needed.
Yeah, and that's another great tip, too, is if you get a good guest services agent, and if you sound excited for your trip and, you know, you give them some power, some positive energy, a lot of times they're going to work hard for you to maybe make things happen that if you're just kind of like, I need this, you know, they may say, well, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, they want to work hard for you if you sound excited, you know, for being there. So that's a great tip. Now, you guys stayed at Riverside, family of 5. Is that somewhere you've stayed before? Is that a family favorite? Of course, when you're a family of 5, you're looking at places like the family suites, you know, Caribbean Beach now and deluxe resorts. So how'd you land on Riverside?
Yeah, well, that's always a challenge. I found that when we became a family of 5, things got a lot more challenging, and Riverside's always been our go-to. I got to be honest. At this stage, I had a 24-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 13-year-old, all girls. And this was probably one of the last years that my 13-year-old was going to be able to fit on that little pull-out bed.
Yeah.
So it was definitely tight. I mean, we loved Riverside. We stayed there a bunch of times. And they were, you know, once we got out of the room, it was fantastic. But, you know, it was 4 basically grown women and me in that room. So my role is to get out of the room at about 5 a.m., go get coffee, and get the hell out of the way. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. For you, the bathroom in the room was just a rumor. You never saw it, right?
Yeah, I still haven't seen it, so I don't know. I know the one in the lobby pretty well.
That's exactly it. I know that bathroom at Pop Century right off the arcade. That was my bathroom.
Yes.
That's always it. That's so funny. Yeah, that's what you get when you get girls. Anyway, so how was your brother's accommodation? He stayed off-site, and obviously I'm sure you're kind of comparing things, but did it turn out okay for him?
It did. It was part of I don't know if you want me to mention it, but it was part of a timeshare. It was called Festiva, and he had no complaints about it at all. He was very close. And, you know, we kind of combined the fact that, you know, we had annual passes, and so we helped them out with the parking situation. And in turn, we got to save a lot of time transportation-wise, because he actually had two cars down. Him and his son both drove down from Carolina. So, you know, we took advantage of being able to drive from place to place, especially when you're going resort to resort or that kind of thing. And, you know, we split up and put an annual pass in his car, so he got to park for free. So it worked out pretty well.
Ah, smart. I like hearing that. That's smart. Because Disney's going to get their money either way. You don't have to pay extra.
They're shaking
it out of us. All right, so let's talk stories. Let's talk memories from the trip. You're there with your brother's family, got a big group. You know, the young adults, I think this is probably for me, and of course, this is where I am with Paige. You know, she's 22, just graduated school. And it's one of those things where you don't appreciate your time with your older kids until, like, they go away to school and you don't have it anymore. So, like, these Disney vacations are all the more special when you get to be together and share meals, share, you know, shows and stuff like that. So what do you remember from this trip?
I remember a lot is the first night, you know, the way it worked out logistically, 4 out of my 5 family members flew very early. My oldest daughter flew very late because of work responsibilities. And, of course, like I said, my brother's family drove. So we got there first, then we met them in Disney Springs, and then we decided to wait for my oldest daughter to arrive at Yeehaw Bob. I forget the name of the bar. We watched Yeehaw Bob until she got there, and then she got there. We had a great time. A couple of the kids could get drinks, and the other ones who couldn't still had a blast. And you know how Yeehaw Bob is. It's great for the whole family. So that was what we finally all were together the first time, and it was very memorable.
That's a great tip, though, to kind of get everybody together to congregate, because you're being entertained, you're seeing a show with Bob there at River Roost, I think the bar's called, and
right.
You know, and that gives everybody a chance to kind of congregate and get that trip started the right way. You know, I'm a huge advocate of this in the last few trips, is that on arrival day, spend time at your resort. Don't try to rush out, or, you know, do Disney Springs, because that's very chill. You're not waiting in lines. You're not using a park ticket, anything like that. But, you know, I'm really kind of becoming an advocate of, like you said, kind of easing into the vacation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we do go, my wife and my youngest and I, we go pretty frequently now that we have the annual passes. So there's never a rush to get on any particular ride or go eat any place particular. It's just kind of being able to take your time, which we really appreciate.
All right, so once everybody gets there, how do you guys go about touring the parks? Like, what do you decide to do first? You know, do you stick together the whole time? What are some of the highlights?
I would say we stuck together about 70% of the time, which is probably just about right. Mm-hmm. You got to understand too that this not only was our getting together with them, but it was the actual week of Christmas. So you know, we braved the crowds together. Sometimes it was bad. Most of the time it was good. We had an excellent Christmas dinner meal at Enzo's Hideaway, which at the time, we timed it right, so it was technically lunch. So we got 40% off.
That's smart. Christmas. Yeah, that was a great deal.
And the place was great, especially for Christmas, because we're an Italian family, and it was really, really terrific. That was a lot of fun. And we had Christmas Eve dinner at Homecoming, which was probably, in my opinion right now, the best restaurant in Disney. And both were really special, really special.
So, see, I haven't been to Enzo's Hideaway yet. I'm wanting to go there. And with that, you know, that 40% off AP discount, they were begging people to go there, you know, with annual passes. It just never worked out for me. But I mean, you said you're from an Italian family, and it got the seal of approval, so that must say it all.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say this about Disney. I never thought I would say it, but I almost felt bad. I mean, 40% off is crazy. But it was. I highly recommend that restaurant. Absolutely.
That's okay. Go to Ohana and it all evens out. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we went there too.
You see that bill and you're like, okay, I needed that 40% off over at Enzo's Hideaway. We're even.
Exactly. Because there was no 40% off at Ohana, believe me.
Heck no. That's a little
only
shocking.
20.
That's exactly right. All right. So let's talk about the parks. What are some of the things that you went during the holidays. So you have all these extra holiday events going on. Of course, you got bigger crowds. Was it just that it worked out with your schedule to go over the holidays, or was it a focus to say, you know, we enjoy seeing the Christmas trees or we enjoy seeing candlelight processional, things that only happen during this time of year?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to be there on the actual holiday for all the special things that are there. And plus, you know, the way things have gone, his family and my family, we're kind of like the last ones left. So if we stayed home one or the other, we would have not much to do on Christmas as far as an extended family goes. So we said, you know, let's go for the actual holiday and be in Disney on Christmas. And it was really, really great.
Sound very much like Pam Forrester. She does it every other year for that reason. It's just a place where they can kind of get away from it and they don't have to. Because sometimes I think, too, you know, if you're from the opposite side of things where you have lots of, you know, obligations and lots of different pockets of family, you know, it's hard to, if you stay home, a lot of times you feel like maybe you're obligated to go three or four places on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or a combination of the both of the days. And it, you know, sometimes I think that if you're hustling to see so many different pockets of your family, maybe your immediate family just kind of gets wore out and you don't get to spend time together because you're traveling, you're bringing food to this family member and so forth, where you can really get away from it. Now, did you feel that down there? I mean, was it one of those things like we get to celebrate together, but we don't have all the obligations of making dinner and being here and all that kind of stuff?
100%. That, you know, if I could afford to do it every Christmas, I would. It really made the holiday that much more special.
Now, what's it like waking up at Walt Disney World on Christmas mornings? I've never done that. I've gone, you know, on the 26th and stayed through New Year's many times, but never, my wife won't let us leave. You know, she has to be at her parents' house on Christmas Eve, and that's just like, that is never going to change. So what is it? I mean, I think some people like think that the Christmas parade happens on Christmas Day. It doesn't. It's been recorded in, you know, November, but what's the vibe on Christmas morning?
It's kind of surreal. I would say there's really no difference in vibe throughout the whole week. You know, if you don't make it Christmas, then all it is the Christmas season. I don't know if I'm saying it the right way. In other words, the only thing that's out of the ordinary on those particular days is that, I don't know about all the hotels, but Santa was in our lobby on Christmas Eve. So after homecoming, we did the Christmas tree trail, which was great, very crowded, but great. And we took the boat back to Port Orleans Riverside, and Santa was there in the lobby. So that was really special. The kids loved that. They actually went and put their pajamas on and came and hung out with Santa for a while. So that was really neat. But as far as the vibe of Christmas, you know, if you don't create the vibe, it's kind of just like another Disney day. You know, it's kind of weird that way. But Santa definitely visited our room. So that was a good thing.
That's awesome. And you know what I've seen too, and I've gone this time of year, which I really get a kick out of, which we just, you know, I could blame this on me. I don't think ahead well enough when we do go over the holidays, that you see a lot of the guests really get into it with their windows at the hotel. You know, they'll have,
yes.
You might see Christmas trees actually in the, you know, in guest rooms and, you know, Christmas lights in the windows. I love seeing that kind of stuff.
We did have a tree. This involved, we had a mini Christmas tree in my house that we shipped to North Carolina so it could be driven by my brother and handed off to us. But we did have a tree.
It
was great.
Was it on the roof of a station wagon on the way down?
I don't know. I can't speak for that. But it made it.
It's awesome. Oh, man. You're one of those people that I'm always jealous of. Because I'm always like, God, we should have had a tree. Yeah, that's so cool. So give us some more highlights of going around. I mean, you guys stayed together some. You broke up some. How did you determine, like, what you were going to do in the parks and, like, kind of how you attack the parks, especially during this busy time of the year?
Well, we hit each park twice. We were there for, I think, 8 days total. We hit each park twice. My 20-year-old, who's now 21, day one ended up being very ill. She had a fever, she had chills, and so we thought she might have the flu. She ended up sitting out the first half of the first full day and at that point, I was like, oh, my God. You know how you get.
Yes.
I spent all this money. It's Christmas. But she ended up rallying. It was really quite amazing. It's good to be 21 years old. So other than taking one day off, she rallied back that night, and she actually got a lot better. So we managed to do all the nighttime stuff. I really love Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. I thought that was cute. You know, we did the usual nighttime shows at the other parks, except for Rivers of Light. We did not do that. I would say that the Magic Kingdom, I find this always, I don't know about you, but it's always the most crowded. And during this week, as you can imagine, it was a little bit uncomfortable, you know, to for Happily Ever After, you're basically body to body standing on Main Street. And that was a little tense. But other than that, you know, Magic Kingdom is my favorite park. We spent a lot. I think we ended up going there three times. The parade. You know, that's the other good thing about going Christmas week is you get a lot of the stuff from the Merry Christmas party.
Getting it for free.
Without paying for it. So we saw that parade. I don't think we saw those fireworks. We only saw Happily Ever After. But that parade is really special. I got that whole thing on video, so that was great. We did Animal Kingdom twice. Everybody got to ride Flights of Passage, so that was cool. And, you know, the whole... What we did... Since we had a lot of bigger lunches, since that's a little more economical, the festival of the holidays was going on, so we hit a lot of food booths.
Nice.
And they were really, really very good. We did that for a couple of dinners and just hung around the World Showcase. And because, you know, the youngest person on the trip was 13, you can do that. You know, you're not running with a stroller, which I've done. Believe me, I've done my time doing that.
Sick.
And but since everybody's pretty much either an adult or a young adult, you know, we got to really relax and appreciate World Showcase on a couple of different nights.
You know, and I think you made a good point, you know, a couple of minutes ago about Magic Kingdom does feel more crowded than the other parks, especially during these busiest times of the year. And I think part of that, you're right. Like when you're trying to watch Happily Ever After or, you know, some kind of a show during the holiday season, especially in the Hub or Main Street, it does get just body to body. But I think, too, that one of the things that crosses my mind when it's like I'm trying to make a good decision of are we going to go to the Magic Kingdom or are we going to go to the studios, Epcot, Animal Kingdom tonight to see some nighttime entertainment. One of the things is during those busiest times of the year, the Magic Kingdom is such a challenge to get in and out of. You got to not only think about what it's going to be like in the park, but I mean, you know, you got to think about, am I going to take a monorail from the TTC or am I going to, you know, ride a bus in, which is usually your best bet if you're staying on site. But, you know, it's just so, I mean, it's part of the whole deal. It's that isolation that makes it magical, but it's the isolation of that park that makes it sometimes a challenge to get in and out when it's really busy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, when we saw Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, there was, you know, we were sitting on a rail and there was nobody near us. You know what I mean? It was very low key. But compared to seeing Happily Ever After, like I said, it was, you know, you're standing there and you've been standing for a while because you want to get a good spot and your legs are giving out and people are knocking into you. So, that could have been a little better, but, overall, I don't mind the crowds. I don't know if it was your podcast I heard on, but you can have crowds, or you can have heat, but you just can't have both.
Oh, and yeah.
Christmas week, usually there's not a lot of heat. It was actually pretty chilly in the mornings and at night, so we dealt with the crowds pretty well.
But, too, being from, like, Jersey, and, like, I'm from St. Louis, where, you know, in the wintertime here, the wind chill will get to 15, 20 below, you know, in January. It gets brutal cold, so it's kind of a novelty for us to go to Walt Disney World in December where... You know, don't get me wrong, I've been cold there many, many times, especially when I'm running the races. But, you know, it's kind of fun because we typically go in the summer and, you know, to throw on a long sleeve tee or some, you know, actually go around the park in jeans. And sometimes you even got to put on a stocking cap. But I mean, during the holiday season, I think you got to embrace that and kind of say it's almost like thematic. You know, it's Christmas season. Let's get into the party here.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually prefer it because I don't know if it's because I'm from Jersey or I'm getting a little older, but some of those August trips that we've taken are almost unbearable in terms of how hot it is. And you're right. You get into the theme, you throw a sweatshirt on, you grab a cup of coffee or hot chocolate, and it's really pretty nice.
So did the kids break up and kind of go off like, you know, on their own? Maybe you took off on your, you know, had a meal with your wife. I mean, did you do anything like that? Because, you know, as my kids get older, my youngest now is 11, Her older sister's 22. So we're getting that opportunity more than we've had in the past where, you know, maybe we can send Paige and Mallory together and my wife and I can have, you know, maybe one meal or two meals together, you know, before we all get together. And that's kind of fun because we didn't get to do that in the past. So did you have any chance to do things like that?
We did. And that was the beauty of my brother having two cars down there, because the kids all traveled in one car a lot of the time and went and did their own thing. Although I couldn't get a dinner just for the four of us, my wife and my brother and his wife, because I think the other kids wanted to know who was paying for theirs.
You know? Magic bands.
But, yeah, exactly. But they did go their own way a lot of the time, and we had some adult time. But I know that the Ample Hills came into play there where we separated, and we all went for some Ample Hills, and they all went to do whatever they did. So it worked out really well.
Yeah, I approve of Ample Hills. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, man.
Yeah,
I can't wait to have that.
It ruins you for other ice cream.
God, it really does. It does. I know. And you guys apparently have Ample Hills up in the Northeast. It's not even near. But I keep getting links. People send me that you can buy Ample Hills online. But it's one of those things that if I go down that rabbit hole, I will.
Right.
I'll be broke. I'll be huge, and it won't be as special when I get to Walt Disney World.
So. Well, it's funny because I'm like a real nerd sometimes, and my wife did bring some home one time. I'm like, you can't eat at home. You have to eat at Disney.
It's
like when they started selling those Mickey bars in the grocery store. I'm like, I don't want them to eat those things in New Jersey. I only want to get them on Main Street. You know what I mean?
So you're so alike.
I try to avoid that stuff.
No, that's exactly it. Yeah, you can't. I mean, as much as you want it in your life every day, if it becomes the norm, it's not the fun stuff on vacation.
Exactly.
So I'm totally like you there. So, all right. So you mentioned some of your meals you had. You had a homecoming, great meal. Enzo's Hideaway, great meal. You guys headed over to Ohana. So any other memorable things that you did as far as your dining?
Well, Ohana was great. We had we didn't ask for it or anything, but we got a table with a perfect castle view. During a fireworks, so that was really dumb luck. So we really enjoyed that. We really didn't go out for breakfast other than maybe a food court or a Starbucks until the last day. We all went to Whispering Canyon. That was a really great meal for breakfast. And the servers were doing the whole shtick, and it was really a lot of fun. Trying to think of the other... I wrote some stuff down here. We hit Chicken Guy, which was nothing fancy, but we all love Chicken Guy. And Trail's End we hit as far as dinner goes.
You guys had some awesome meals.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still trying to make up for that as far as the calories go, but I'm not running 13 miles a day like some people.
That's what you do so that you can eat.
But, we try to balance the real expensive situations with places like Trails End or the 40% off at Enzo's. And, Homecoming actually is pretty reasonable, but we were just blown away by Homecoming. I think it's a fantastic restaurant.
You know, I love hearing this. This makes me so excited because what's happening here, at least, you know, again, I do this every day for a living now, you know, help people plan trips. And what I'm hearing is like you knew what was going on and you were really smart about, okay, I can get 40% off here. I can eat lunch and get basically the same menu for savings. And I can also, you know, supplement maybe in Ohana with the Trails End, where one is pretty expensive. Trails End's a good value. That's just, to me, you know, when I'm speaking to guests and folks that maybe are going down for the first or second time that are listening to today's show, maybe they're going down over the holiday season this year. I think this show is a great lesson in, you know, you don't have to exclude an Ohana because it's a high priced meal if that's something that really appeals to you, but you probably don't want to do those kind of meals every night of the entire trip. You know, Trails End, good value. Find places that are offering discounts if you qualify for some reason, a Disney Visa, an annual pass. And I think, you know, in the end, you're trying to find strike a good balance, but it sounds like you really just nailed it with these ADRs.
Yeah, I mean, being a Disney nerd comes in handy sometimes because, you know, you're reading about it constantly, listening to podcasts constantly, you can't help but pick a few tips up. And you really have to these days, the way the prices have gone. I mean, I'm like you, I remember a time where things were not nearly this expensive, so you really got to be smart about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So any other highlights, like stories or memories from this trip that you remember? Because, again, you know, the older the kids get, the more special, I think, as parents, these trips become. You know, when, you know, it was just Paige before we had Mallory, and we go down every summer, you know, every trip was awesome, but I never felt like, you know, oh man, these are the times, you know. I was like, oh, well, it's summer trip. We'll go down and, you know, we'll do it next summer. No big deal. But now that, you know, she's away at school and she's, you know, graduated now, it's one of those things like I really do appreciate being there with my family each and every trip.
Yeah, you know, it was as great as that first night was when we arrived and my brother's family arrived and my oldest arrived much later. And once that feeling, that great feeling that we had when everyone was together, by the same token, my oldest daughter had to leave before we even had Whispering Canyon breakfast. She had a very early flight. And then we had to leave. Our flight was later that day. And so we decided, since not all of us had passes that day, we just did a little monorail hopping. We ate at Whispering Canyon and took a boat over, and we just explored some of the monorail resorts. But then there came a time where my brother was like, well, we're going to go to a park now. And we're like, oh, we're going to go catch Magical Express. So it was kind of bittersweet as, you know, people just started falling off, and we realized that the week was over, because even though it was 8 days and it was a lot, it still went pretty fast. And that's when you know you're having a great time.
Yeah, time never goes faster than when you're at Walt Disney World. I'm not kidding. It drags, like, especially the month before your trip or the 2 weeks before your trip. It's one of those things like, oh, it's never going to get here. Then when you get there, it's like, boom, blink of an eye, a week's gone by. It's so scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, let me ask you this, just kind of as we start to wrap this up. Has there been conversation in the family about doing this again some holiday season, or maybe switching it up and doing spring, fall, you know, something like that? But what's the talk of the next adventure?
Well, we're definitely talking about doing it again. I don't know if it'll be this Christmas. The way things are broken down with my family, as I mentioned to you before, my middle daughter plays college softball, and so they go to Florida because she plays in the Northeast, and they can't start when everybody else starts. So the folks down in Claremont, Florida, have this great tournament where Northeast teams come down and they play their first 11 games, you know, in basically a week. And so we've been coming down to watch her play. We'd stay at a house in Claremont, but that's when we started getting the annual passes, because we're like, wow, we can come down this week and then we can come down another week, and basically it's worth it to get the annuals. And so that turns into, oh, we could shoot down for a weekend if Spirit has the, you know, $44 flights. And so my wife and I and my little one, we've ended up taking a lot of mini trips. But as far as another family reunion, I would say probably Christmas of 2020 will be the next time we do that. We're definitely going to do that holiday week again.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that you can do it again, because I think that's the biggest, you know, like, validation that it was okay. You know, like, you wouldn't, if it was terrible, you wouldn't do it again. You'd say, oh, well, we did that. We're going to go Flower and Garden. We're going to go in May or something.
Yeah, no. I mean, if it was cheaper, I'd do it every Christmas, to be honest with you.
That's awesome.
You know, it is pricey that week, and it is crowded, but to me, it's something everyone should experience if they can.
Good deal. Okay, a couple other things. So how excited are you for your daughter going after the college program? I tried to talk Paige into that, but she never did it. I was bummed.
I am thrilled. You know, funny story, in 1986, I applied and was accepted to the college program, and I did not go. Oh. And I have regretted that, Mike, every day. It's bittersweet, because the semester that I ended up going back to school, I met my wife. Yeah. So I always told my daughter that if I did the college program, you may not be doing it, because you may not be here.
That's true.
But it's been something that our whole family was into, her applying, and she's going to be in attractions, although she doesn't know exactly where. And, you know, it's much different than when I applied in the 80s. Now, with YouTube, she's all over the program and the details of where they live and what they do. It's all pretty much out there on YouTube. So she can't be more excited.
Yeah, it's one of those. I have the same. I just didn't know about the college program. You know, I'd never heard of it, you know, until I got into the Disney stuff. And I'm like, God, you know, and by then I was already a full-time teacher. So I was just like, God, that'd have been perfect. Like, I'd have loved to have done that if I'd have only known.
It has evolved. It was called the Magic Kingdom College Program. And I have a typewritten letter. Typewritten saying that I was accepted. So I saved it and I still have it, but it's just to show you how things have changed now. You know, she got notified on her phone in the middle of class. So it's become a huge deal, and she's really excited. She wants to be part of Disney even when she graduates. So this is a good first step for her.
Gotta love that. Well, good luck to her, and I hope to see her on one of my trips. That'd be really, really cool. All right, last thing for the show, because this is perfect for you. And I'm retiring this one, everybody, after this show. We're going to come up with a new one. But a few, you know, about a month and a half ago, we did that cut. We had to cut one show. You got to go back, and if you didn't hear it, it's we had to cut an attraction out of a group of three. So don't, you know, we're not terrible here. So we had the big three here. We had Pirates, TTA People Mover, and Carousel of Progress. So if you had to eliminate one for the rest of time, tough Disney choice here, but which one would you get rid of and why?
I think it is a very, very tough choice, and I'm going to say People Mover.
Okay, so give us the reason.
Because as hokey as the Carousel of Progress can be, to me it just reeks of Walt Disney, and for that reason I always go. And that's also one of my daughter's favorites. And to me, Pirates is you know, that's big time e-ticket. So it's to me, it's a pretty easy choice to do People Mover, but we do love People Mover.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. You know, Carousel of Progress, Walt's talking to me. You know, that is,
exactly.
To me, that is like the voice of Walt, and I know it's not, but it's the voice of Walt Disney telling me a story for 25 minutes. Pirates is, you know, the dark ride. I mean, that's why we go. It's the storytelling. It's the smells. It's the sights, the sounds. It's everything. And People Mover, God, I love People Mover, but it's just, there's not as much theme going on. There's not as much, like, it doesn't tug at my heartstrings quite as much as the other two. So good call.
Exactly.
We're like on the same wavelength today. I love it. Well, Dave, I gotta get out of here because as we're recording, we have a pretty big hockey game getting ready to start, and you have a softball game there because I know you had a foul ball earlier. But thank you so much for taking the time to share. This is going to help so many people going down this holiday season, and I think it gives people assurance that even that crazy busy week, memories can be made. It could be a great time. And it's a great kind of alternative to the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. So thanks again for taking some time, and good luck to your daughter in her game.
Thanks, Mike. Go Blues.
All right, go Blues. All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends at touringplans.com. Drop by their site and check out all the great services they offer. Of course, they can save you up to 4 hours in line every day of your Disney vacation. They also offer services for Disneyland and Universal as well. And for about the price of a couple of Mickey bars, you're getting 365 days of great information. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And again, thank you to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link when you do that online shopping. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really, really does help support the show. So again, if you don't mind, bookmark it on all your devices, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at beourguestmike and at beourguestpod. And again, I'm down at Walt Disney. Well, right now I'm on the Disney Dream, but in a couple days we'll be back on land. You're going to see all the pictures from the big meet we're going to have on July 4th at 8 o'clock in Japan at Epcot. So come out before the fireworks and see Ricky, Pam, and myself. We're going to have a good time there. And just lots of content from the parks. We're going to be actually, excuse me, at Give Kids the World on July 5th as well. We'll be live on Facebook that day, so watch for details there. Lots of great content coming from this trip. So follow on the social media and, of course, facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Let you get on with your week. And I'll get on with my cruise, head on to Deck 4, get some laps in, and, of course, head up to Cabanas and have a nice breakfast. So wherever you are, hope your week is off to a great start. For David, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to head back to work or to the buffet. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.